Coming up on podcast 1160, well, it's the news that US Leaf owners didn't want to hear. Electrify America will begin to phase out the CHAdeMO plug. Also on the podcast today, we're talking Tesla AI Day, Mercedes-Benz EQS SUV, and reservation numbers for Ford's F-150 Lightning revealed. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Thursday, 29th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you know the score. You don't have to. All about saving you time. It's my job here, so that you don't have to spend all day searching numerous blogs and researching articles just to find out the info you need to know. It's my job, it's what I do for you, and today we've got 10 of the best, so let's get going. Well, buried deep on page 46 of Electrify America's National Investment Plan, they're on to cycle 3 now, is the information that Leaf owners in the US won't want to hear. They will no longer install the CHAdeMO connector on their charging stations. That begins in January next year, reported by Tom Malogny for Inside EVs, who spotted this. Now, Tom has been to Electrify America HQ. He knows the team there. He knows everything there is to know about public charging in the US. And Tom discovered this buried deep in the fine print. Our sources at Electrify America tell us that overall, only 5% of all energy dispensed on the Electrify America network is from CHAdeMO connectors. So that's not 5% of connections or 5% of users. That's 5% of all the energy dispensed is on CHAdeMO. Well, since a CCS adapter is now available for Tesla, Tesla owners no longer need to use the CHAdeMO adapter. It's rumored soon that Tesla will also release their own CCS adapter in North America. Well, Inside EV says that owners of CHAdeMO equipped vehicles will still have the existing infrastructure for now. Of course, those connectors are working, and if you're a Leaf owner, maybe a Outlander plug-in, an early Soul EV, what else? I think there is there a Lexus that uses CHAdeMO in the US? I'm not so sure. Correct me if you want on email if I'm wrong about that. But yeah, look, the existing infrastructure isn't being taken away. This is for all new EV installations, of which there will be many. You know, those CHAdeMO users need to be prepared to look in advance and not assume there'll at least always be one connector they can use. Terrible news for Leaf owners, but I mean, you can't say that you didn't see it coming. What with Nissan dropping the plug outside of Japan, at least. Japan will never drop CHAdeMO in the short to medium term, is my prediction on that. But the new Nissan Ariya, which is coming out, uses the CCS combo plug. And so, you know, the connector, the CHAdeMO connector, was always doomed when they made that announcement that outside of Japan, and even in Japan, one side will be CHAdeMO and one side will be either AC or the CCS plug-in, at least in the home market of Japan. But when they announced that, it was always going to be the death knell for the CHAdeMO plug. Unfair to people who spend good money on vehicles and may feel a little bit let down that connector is going away. But like I say, you know, not going anywhere in the short term. But as those units break down, I also wouldn't be surprised to see the CHAdeMO not being repaired if that's the bit that's gone wrong. And look, if I'm being a total mercenary as well, then, you know, trying to zoom up 1,000 feet and take that viewpoint, there needs to be one single connector to help public adoption of EVs. And that sucks for existing Leaf owners, but they're not going away. And there's nothing wrong with CHAdeMO, apart from perhaps the current speed is limited, but the new protocol with CHAdeMO fixes that, and also they're merging with the Chinese protocol as well. It's going to be called Xiaoji, so it's going to be used in China and Japan. It'll be the biggest in the world. There's nothing wrong with CHAdeMO, and there's a lot right with it at the minute. You know, you can unplug it. It's got an external latch, so you can unplug a car if it's finished charging. The car doesn't lock onto it. You know what else? And also, it rarely goes wrong. Correct me, again, if you think I'm wrong, but I very rarely hear people saying, look, CHAdeMO didn't work, because it's one protocol and it just seems to, you know, work very well. Lots of things going for it. It's bi-directional at the moment, whereas, you know, CCS is going to be bi-directional in the future, but, you know, it can do vehicle to grid or vehicle to load. So, you know, lots of things going for it. That's our main story today. Let me know your thoughts on email or social media. Next, the Tesla battery supplier CATL has unveiled a new sodium ion battery today. It's a type of lower density cell that uses much cheaper raw materials than batteries made from lithium ion. It's sodium ion, so we get used to saying, oh, lithium ion batteries in everything, phones, computers, cars. This is different. The Chinese company launched a battery pack solution that can integrate sodium ion cells and lithium ion cells together in one case, compensating for the energy density shortage of sodium ion batteries while preserving the advantages. They say the CATL chairman Zeng Yuquang said, sodium ion batteries have unique advantages in low temperature performance, fast charging, and environmental adaptability. Moreover, they're compatible and complementary with lithium ion batteries. Diversified technical routes are an important guarantee for the long-term development of the industry. End quote. Well, according to a Bloomberg.com article today, they say that notwithstanding that, CATL said that through breakthroughs in research and development, its first-generation sodium ion batteries have already reached 160 watt-hours per kilogram and are exceeding 200 watt-hours per kilogram in the next generations. I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. Always very interesting to hear about new battery technologies, especially anything that makes EVs cheaper and anything that makes them charge faster, and anything that is new opens up new development routes. So anything that is, you know, not well established often has bigger jumps, bigger leaps and improvements in terms of comparing it to an established technology. Not always the case, but that's typical. Next, we'll talk about Ford already reaching 120,000 orders for their Tesla Cybertruck rival, the Ford F-150 Lightning. And how interesting on this Yahoo article today, they didn't use that in the title. They said Ford reaches 120,000 orders for their Cybertruck rival. You know, just because putting Tesla in a title is just catnip to so many people. It's what they do, though. The interest appears to be building for the F-150 Lightning. 120,000 orders, according to CEO Jim Farley. Telling investors today on an earnings call, well, I mean, I guess late last night, depending on where you're listening to this, about 75% of the orders are from those people new to the Ford brand. They must be delighted at that. Three quarters of orders are people coming into Ford. They're not cannibalizing their existing fan base, their brand advocates. That's really interesting. I wonder how many of those were Cybertruck reservation holders who, now they know that they're going to get their F-150 Lightning before the Cybertruck, are actually going, you know what, I need the vehicle for work, pleasure, just curiosity. I'll have that and get a Cybertruck later, maybe, or not at all. He said this, and I quote, I would say what we've learned so far from the Lightning orders is that the customers are largely new to Ford, but they aren't new to the segment. These are customers who really like these silhouetted vehicles. What's really interesting for me, says the CEO, Jim Farley, is some would portray the full-size truck industry as a conservative customer. But it's not what we're seeing. In this very large order bank for the F-150 Lightning, they're new to battery electric vehicles, BEV, and they are excited to move to BEV. More than half of them are already pickup truck owners. Pop a link to Yahoo Finance in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Next, a story on regulation. And it's so important to get this right. The Biden administration has drafted emissions rules for new cars that'll reverse the rollback in regulations brought in under the Trump administration, the Washington Post reports. And it notes the measures are set to resemble the 2019 pact between California and the five car makers that mandated a 3.7 annual increase in fuel economy through to 2026, writes carbonbrief.org. Great website, great newsletter, great daily briefing. Bloomberg notes that activists had previously pressed Biden for emissions curbs that matched the 5% reduction he helped broker as Obama's VP, rather than adopting the more modest Californian targets, at least in the short term. Let me assure you, my US listeners, regulations really help EV adoption, because the car makers, there's inertia in there. There's no need for them to change 100 years of getting really good at building piston engines. But over here, we introduced, or the European lawmakers, the EU, introduced carbon dioxide limits for the entire fleet of cars that you sell. So if you sell a million cars a year, that's your fleet. And they set those targets, and they will be scaling down over the next 10 years and eventually in 2035 reaching 0% carbon dioxide emitted. So, in other words, banning combustion. And all of the car makers were facing either the choice of making electric vehicles or massive fines. Now, some of them chose not to do. So the Stellantis company from Fiat Chrysler and Group PSA had to go to Tesla and buy some regulatory credits, if you like, a bit like what we think VW are doing with Tesla in China. But anyway, that's a sidebar. And so, because they couldn't do it, and it's cheaper than paying the fines to the regulators to pay Tesla a few billion. Now, it has completely worked here. Okay, so it doesn't work just before the deadline. So just before January, a lot of the EV makers were not wanting, or any of the car makers, to sell you an EV. They're like, oh, it's going to be a 12-month waiting list on this one, I'm afraid, sir. Madam, you'll be waiting years. And then the stroke of midnight on January. Oh, yeah, we got some. Found some around the back. We can deliver it tomorrow. Because they didn't want to waste, as it were, an EV sale. Which, at the minute, any if they sell one EV, they can kind of roughly sell two gas guzzlers. It's not exact, but, you know. Anyway, it really works. So if you are wondering, oh, you know, any point going down this route, I'm not sure that the fuel economy regulations make a huge dent in that, but certainly the other side of it, rather than, you know, the carrot and the stick side, the actual penalising car makers for polluting too much, or they could just make EVs, you know, that really worked here. Hope it works elsewhere. Coming up on the podcast, we'll talk about a major shift in Tesla's retail strategy and what their AI day is going to be. Stick around and we'll tell you more very soon. Now, though, we'll talk about LG. You've heard of them. They make batteries. And Magna. They make not only whole cars for people, but lots of components. They've now signed an agreement. They're going to work together, form a new company. It's going to be called LG Magna ePowertrain. It's based in South Korea, employs 1,000 people. Well, it will do, says ZDNet.com. And they're hoping the joint venture will combine Magna's strength in EV powertrain systems, LG's experience in components and batteries and cells, e-motors, inverters, and expanding their presence on the global car market. They see a big slice of the pie, and they want it as theirs. Next, a big shift in Tesla's retail strategy. Haven't we heard this before? They're implementing a major shift in retail, according to sources familiar with the Electrek website. They're moving away from showrooms in fancy malls and instead focusing on cheaper locations, remote managing of test drive fleets, and even delivery centres. Well, Electrek writes that in 2018, Tesla said that they would focus on high footfall traffic retail locations. So go back 3 years, and Tesla wanted to be better known. They wanted to be visible in malls. A year later, Elon Musk said that they would be closing most retail stores, laying off the employees, focusing on online. The staff didn't know. And then a few weeks later, oh no, we're going to keep all those. The new strategy will see Tesla letting go of its high rent locations in malls and shopping centres in favour of maybe an online team of delivery experts that you'll be assigned one of those when you buy a car. They will also have a physical presence, though, and rather than expensive spaces, they will have rented spaces in maybe parking lots or warehouses or other locations where you can do a test drive and there's a bit more room and it's cheaper to do the rent. Tesla employees will work remotely to guide buyers through that experience, also for test drives from those locations, unlock the car remotely, let them drive around and do it all without person-to-person contact. Makes sense if you're spending big money on these rental locations. I was in Miami a couple of years ago, and there's a big mall there where I'm sure they've got plenty of Tesla locations. But it was an amazing place inside this mall with all their cars on display, all the doors open, and just, you know, kids jumping up and down on the seats of a Tesla Model X and jabbing their dirty little kid fingers all over these gorgeous cars. And the staff, of course, they're there to tell people about the brand experience. And so, you know, they can't stop them exactly. But these cars were getting wrecked. And I thought at the time, you know what? I know Tesla have to do this, but if it was my money, I'd be like, nah. No, this is not the way that it works, by the way, kids. These aren't trampolines. And breathe. Move on. Mercedes-Benz and their EQS. You've seen it. It's the big luxury 100 grand plus executive saloon. Now we see more spy pictures of the SUV version of the EQS. And we can check out the final headlights and taillights looking very much like an SUV version of the car that we know. And it's going to get a premiere in 2022. Motor One says that it'll be built in the US at the Tuscaloosa plant from 2022 alongside its smaller cousins. So there'll be the EQS saloon, the EQS SUV, one name, two shapes. Then there'll be the EQE, which will be smaller, EQE saloon and SUV. Dedicated EVs will join the EQA, EQB, EQC. Of course, there's the EQV, which is the van. And the highlight of Mercedes electric efforts will be the Vision EQXX, which is a concept car they unveiled recently. I didn't really talk about it too much on the podcast because it was a concept car. And you can say what you want and you make up specs, but they want to deliver 1,000 kilometers or 621 miles on a single charge by really focusing on efficiency of their powertrain. Staying with Tesla now, and they're hiking the EV prices in the US, but holding them in China. And why is that, asks Reuters, showing signs of divergent strategies in the world's two biggest automotive markets, raising prices, which has done wonders for their margin. I mean, their automotive margins are mega in the US, but they've kept the prices steady in China, hoping to grow sales and market share. Reuters says that Tesla's been raising prices for most of the versions of the Model 3 and the Y about a dozen times so far this year already in the US, adding over $5,000 in some instances. And yet in China, no price hikes, refraining from that, wanting to get the cars out into the market. Tesla raising prices for the Model Y long range 6 times already this year by $5,500, now $53,990. We'll call it $54,000. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you want to read more about why they do business differently in different countries. Tesla's AI Day is now going to be on August 19th, confirmed by Elon Musk in a recent post on Twitter. He didn't share any more details about it, but you can imagine it's going to be software, hardware, artificial intelligence, full self-driving, and he's previously said that he will show off their AI chops in order to recruit more people. It'll be interesting to see how Tesla approaches AI Day, a very specialized topic considering their experience in the subject. And look, the same went for Battery Day. I watched it, I thought I understood it, and I went back and watched it a few more times in the days and weeks afterwards just to try and pick up, and I had to go away and learn about it. And now I'll watch AI Day because it'll be a big event in EV world. I don't think I can understand 5% of what they're talking about, but I'll do my best. Next, the final story today, and Kelley Blue Book names the most affordable EVs in 2021, according to their stats. Car shoppers looking to get an EV but can't afford a brand new one can look at these cars. They have named the 2017 Chevrolet Bolt EV, the 2017 Volt, the 2018 Nissan Leaf, and the 2019 Kia Niro Hybrid as four of the best plug-in cars to get on the used market. And I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Right, time for question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. With 2,877 superchargers globally, 25,000 stalls, Tesla have agreed that they will open up the network to every EV driver. No indication on timing, what territories will be first, but it'll be done with an app, and it'll get more expensive per kilowatt hour the slower your car charges, to persuade people once they get to maybe 80% to move on. And it's what we talked about last week on the question of the week, funnily enough. And so, what do you think about this plan? Email me your thoughts, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners, our supporters on Patreon: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hey, have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.